Brothers who have completed their salah requested to come closer, inshallah. Saati aage tashreef laye. قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمنون كجسد واحد إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear brothers and respected elders, first of all I would like to thank the Ummah Welfare Trust team, many of whom are veterans. They have been working for the charity, well-known faces, ulama and non-ulama alike, who have been working tirelessly for many years serving the Ummah. It's an honor to host them in our masjid. And second of all, I would like to extend my thanks and my gratitude to every single brother and sister who have taken time out of their busy Saturday evening. They could have chosen to spend it entertaining themselves. They could have chosen to spend it in many other activities, but you chose to attend the house of Allah and to take part in a gathering to remember our Muslim brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, to learn and take knowledge from the ulama with the intention of i'tikaf, hoping to inculcate worry and concern for others and for the entire Muslim Ummah. All of these are intentions which are very, very noble. And for this, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward every single one of you. Without further ado, I would like to request Mulana Adam Saab to take over and continue with the program. Mulana Adam Saab.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مررتم برياض الجنة فارتعوا قيل يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما رياض الجنة قال حلق الذكر وفي رواية حلق العلم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers, sisters, very happy to see all of you for this very important talk, like Maulana mentioned, regarding the signs of the Day of Judgment. And it's quite ironic, subhanAllah, we're going to be fundraising for Afghanistan, and the ahadith that talk about Imam al-Mahdi, most of them, they conclude that Imam Mahdi will be initially arriving from the land of Khurasan, which is Afghanistan, southern parts of Iran, Pakistan, and other areas. So alhamdulillah, this is a very blessed opportunity, and obviously you guys are blessed as well for being here. Just to translate the hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, which I just recited, the Prophet ﷺ said to the companions 1400 years ago that when you go past the gardens of paradise, make sure you eat and drink as much as you can. When you go past the gardens of paradise, eat and drink as much as you can. You're not talking about the food that's going to be served, yeah? He's talking about paradise. So the Sahabas asked, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ? What are the gardens of paradise? Because the Prophet ﷺ had previously told them that paradise is such ما لا عين رأت, which no eyes have ever seen. ولا أذن سمعت, no ears have ever heard the sound of paradise. ولا خطر على قلب بشر, and no heart has ever been able to imagine the beauties and the bounties of paradise. So they asked the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, وما رياض الجنة? What is the garden of paradise? What are the gardens of paradise? So the Holy Prophet ﷺ replied to them and said, حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ. And in another narration he said, حِلَقُ الْعِلْمِ. That the circles of knowledge, or the circles in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes this gathering a gathering of ilm and knowledge, that we go back home, and we've learned something, inshallah, and we can be part of this Jannah, inshallah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned. Respected brothers, as Maulana just mentioned, we're here on behalf of Ummah Welfare Trust, inshallah. I'll be speaking a bit more about Ummah Welfare Trust in a few more moments. But as we always start our gatherings, inshallah, with the best of words and the best of speech, and that is nothing other than the Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for that, inshallah, I'd like to call before you Qari Sahib Sahib, inshallah, from Bradford, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم جنات ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يوم لا يخزي الله النبي يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه نورهم يسعى بين يقولون ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يوم لا يخزي الله نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم يقولون ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا يقولون ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. يقولون ربنا أتمم
Ya ayyuhan nabi ya وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ كانتا تحت عبدين من عبادنا صالحين فخانتاهما فلم يغنيا عنهما من الله شيئا وقيل ادخلا النار مع الداخلين وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين. ومريم ابنة عمران التي أحصنت فرجها فنفخنا فيه من روحنا وصدقت بكلمات ربها وكتبه وكانت من القانتين صدق الله العظيم.
جزاكم الله خير to Qari Sahib Sahib for the beautiful recitation. Subhanallah, one of the verses that he recited of Surah Al-Tahrim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites each and every one of us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. And subhanallah, wallahi, the reality of our situation today, globally and nationally here, locally as well, is that this element is missing within our lives, and that is returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance and forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those that turn back to Him time and time again, and we leave this world, inshallah, in a state that we have no sins to our names, inshallah. Respected brothers and sisters, before I call Sheikh Muhammad Ahmed, inshallah, I'd just like to request the brothers to come closer, inshallah. Come forward, inshallah. That's not a bomb, don't worry, inshallah. Come forward. There's a lot of brothers stuck on the edge. Jazakum Allah khair, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Just a few moments, inshallah, before I call Sheikh Muhammad Ahmed, inshallah, to speak about the situation, what he saw in Afghanistan. I'm sure most of you are aware of Ummah Welfare Trust. And alhamdulillah, like I mentioned earlier, Ummah Welfare Trust started in Bradford in 2001, alhamdulillah. And many of the brothers are here who started along with Sheikh and a few other ulama, Mona Idris, Mawlana Zakir and a few other ulama, at 2001, they didn't have any idea that it's going to become a charity that collects, just in last year, over £49 million. And subhanAllah, it is worthy of saying subhanAllah, because like I said, none of these people had this intention in their mind. All they wanted to do is help the people of Afghanistan. And from that, it just snowballed into Iraq, and then Chechnya, and then other countries. And alhamdulillah, we have a charity, which I would like to call a unique charity, not just because I work for them. Ummah Walfitr started with a 100% donations policy, which means that every single penny that you donate, and you're going to be donating today, goes to the people in need, and none of your money has or will ever be used for admin or fundraising purposes. The way it happens, alhamdulillah, we have, you'll be taking some literature as well, but we have two separate bank accounts, meaning every single penny that you donate goes to the intended project. How does this happen? This happens because we have two separate bank accounts. One, you have the international projects account, which is what you donate, what you see on our website, what you see at our offices. That's where all your zakat, sadaqah lillah, goes in. And we have another administration account, which the normal public do not know. And the international projects account, we're with Rayyan Bank, you don't need to memorize the sort code, you'll know that anyway, inshallah. That is basically where all of your zakat, sadaqah lillah, goes. So any donation that anyone has made goes into this account. In the administration account, that is a separate account in which only admin money goes. The question arises, how do we collect admin money? What basically covers a cost for the charity, meaning the administration cost? So you have four different ways. The first one is if someone comes and says to us that I'm giving you this £10 or £100, use it for your admin. Then we will use it for our admin because that's his intention. Secondly, you have the charity shops, like you have one on Manningham Lane, we have one in Dewsbury. We have from London all the way to Scotland, alhamdulillah, we have over 12 charity shops in which everything is donated free of charge. And then we sell that, and that's 100% profit for us, and we use that money to cover our admin costs. So basically everything, the projector you see, the banners, the leaflets, all of that is bought from this money, not from anyone's sadaqah, zakatul lillah, inshallah. Then you have the clothing banks, alhamdulillah. Yusuf, do we have a clothing bank here? No? Okay, inshallah, I'm going to ask you to come over, inshallah, and ask the committee yourself, inshallah. We have clothing banks, approximately 170 clothing banks up and down the UK and Scotland as well, in which people donate their clothes. Alhamdulillah, this is recycled or sold in our charity shops, and the money we get from that is used for our admin, alhamdulillah. And then the last one is the gift aid. When you are a taxpayer, and I hear that in Bradford there's not many taxpayers, is that true? So when you're a taxpayer, alhamdulillah, is good. When you're a taxpayer, inshallah, and you give to any charity in the UK can claim 25% of your donation as long as you paid that amount of tax in the last financial year. So a large bunch of our admin comes from the gift aid as well, alhamdulillah. Not only that, alhamdulillah, when we have extra money in our admin account, it doesn't just sit there. It goes back into the charitable account, back into helping Muslims in Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, Iraq, Palestine, back into making masajid, back into this account to help the Muslims around the world. So last year, if I remember correctly, £1.1 million was donated from the admin back to helping Muslims, alhamdulillah. So this is how we work. But the more unique thing, or the more special thing that makes Ummah Walfitr special, is that we try to do everything according to our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what His guidelines are. There's many ways of fundraising. We get many invitations of having a charity dinner where there's brothers and sisters mixed together and there's raffle tickets and music and all of that, and you can earn and you can raise a lot of money with that. But with that, what do you do? You displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you earn the wrath of Allah azza wa jal. And we know that we cannot live with the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I will not enter Jannah except illa an yataghammadani Allah bi rahmatin minhu wa fadl. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelops me and overpowers me with His mercy. So we are always in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will never ever do anything as much as possible to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try to do everything according to the Sharia, inshallah, as much as possible. We have a board of ulama, we always consult so that we can do things according to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was just very, very briefly, inshallah, in regards to the 100% donation policy, inshallah. Without any further delay, I'd like to call before you Sheikh Muhammad Ahmed. Like I said, one of the founding members of Ummah Welfare Trust. He just recently came back in the New Year's from Afghanistan, along with our trustee Sheikh Muhammad Idris from Pakistan as well. He's going to share some of the stories and the scenes that he's seen there, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ابغوني ضعفاءكم فإنما ترزقون وتنصرون بضعفائكم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اخاسان الرسل وقت دعا ہے امت پہ تیری آکے عجب وقت پڑا ہے. Respected ulama kiram, dear brothers, mothers, sisters listening, we come from a religion which has taught us that a prostitute who had her earnings from prostitution, when on one occasion she came across a dog who was thirsty, and she saw that this dog has no way to take out the water from this well which it was near. So according to the narration, she took out her socks and she put it into the well, took it out and placed it in front of the dog. When the dog licked the socks, quenching its thirst, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that this was sufficient to forgive her years and years and years of this haram act of prostitution, her earnings, her day and night in this profession, and decreed to enter into Jannah. Yet today, we are gathered not only to look at how to help humanity, how to help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation in their time of need. We have gathered here today to help the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummah which is being punished only and only, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prophesies in the Quran in Suratul Buruj, that many a time it has happened in the history, it happened during the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it will continue to happen, that innocent men, women, children, without any crime, except for one crime, which Allah mentions in the Quran, which will be that they will have iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will recite the same kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This will be sufficient for the wider world to take revenge from them. What crime has that child committed today in Afghanistan? What crime have not one or two or three widows, thousands and hundreds of thousands of widows and our sisters who were never part of any war,
who are never part of any dispute or any politics. What crime have they committed that $9 billion are being withheld from a nation which is at the brink of collapse? 1 million children are at the risk of starvation in this winter in Afghanistan if aid does not reach them. There is no other crime except that they are reading the same kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the situation is so dire that day after day, reports are coming which are actually putting a question mark on our iman before their iman. Brothers, the other day I was following the events in some provinces in Afghanistan, when families have nothing to eat, they have nowhere to turn to, the economy is collapsing, there are hungry children at home, looking with innocent eyes, looking around, that where will our next meal come from? So this is leading them to desperate measures. One of our brothers, what has he done to provide for his family? He has gone and sold his own kidney. One of his kidneys has been sold so that he can take that money back and go back home and feed his family. The BBC reported on the 4th of October regarding innocent children who are seeing around them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every human aql and understanding. And many times we underestimate the intellect of young children and we think we're talking about something that they don't maybe understand or they didn't grasp. But the reality is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every human understanding. So when these children, they see the situation in their homes, how desperate the situation is, they are resorting to taking the affairs of adults into their own hands. They are seeing that there is nothing to eat at home. Let me play my part. So the BBC report mentions how young children as young as 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, boys and girls, leave from their homes and they go to the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And they are taking goods from smugglers at the border, whether it is cigarettes or whether it is other goods which are in demand on the other side. And due to the regulations at the border, how do they cross the border so that they can deliver these goods? They hide behind moving trucks which are moving at the border. And whilst they are moving, because they cannot be detected, because they hide under the trucks, they reach the other side. They deliver the goods and they receive maybe £7 when they come back with the receipt so that they can go home and tell their families that there is something here which we have brought back for you to eat. But unfortunately, the report mentions that sometimes this comes with a price as well. When a young girl who was traveling under one of these trucks and she was too close to the engine, so unfortunately she was crushed to death with her guts coming out of her body, and she did not come home with something to feed the family, rather it was a funeral which came back. And this is not only in Afghanistan, where I witnessed in Kabul in the hospital many, many young children, babies, which you may witness in the presentation today, who cannot be described other than skeletons. Their bodies have been reduced, and such is the agony and suffering that they do not even have the strength to cry anymore. There is nothing left. There is no strength to cry. You have mothers who are looking at their children, and all they can do is pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring some ease. 1 million children whose lives are at risk. But dear brothers, how many of us here sitting in this gathering today come from Afghanistan? Maybe no one. But how does this concern us that today we are sat here talking about this? And it is not only Afghanistan. In the last week, we have been receiving reports from the blessed land of Sham, from Syria. One of our Muslim brothers, in this intense winter which has hit Sham, he is checking on his children in a tent made out of cloth and with sub-freezing temperatures. So there is a 1 week child he has, according to Al Jazeera, and he's trying to check the temperature. He notices that the child is very, very cold. So he picks the child up and he can see that the child is turning blue. So he rushes to the hospital. By the morning when he has reached and the doctors have tried their best to make a difference, unfortunately the child has taken its last breath. It has left this world. Respected brothers, with this situation, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to say to us? A day will come when you and I will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belonging to this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, becoming a member of this ummah and reciting the kalima comes with its own obligations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a day will come, according to the hadith mentioned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you and me. And according to the hadith of Qudsi, he will say, "Kuntu ja'ian, O my servant, I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty, you did not quench my thirst. I was sick, you did not come to visit me." And the servant will be in surprise and amazement and bewildered that how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be in need of food? So he will ask that, "O Allah, you are hungry?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "My servant in Afghanistan was hungry. This orphan in Syria was hungry. This widow in Iraq was hungry. This child in Kashmir was hungry." Millions of our Muslim brothers, over 1 million, who are in concentration camps in China, who have fled to Turkey, who have no means of earning, and their children are hungry today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, will ask me and you, "They were hungry, but you did not feed them. Yet we were the people who had 3-course meals available in front of us." ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then surely and surely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely and surely. The ulama understand what I'm referring to here. Lam taqid and noon taqid. لَتُسْأَلُنَّ. Without a doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us twice. On that day, you will be questioned about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much wealth, respected brothers, forgive me for saying something bitter. So much wealth this ummah enjoys today, which it has never enjoyed in the history. Yet so much suffering this ummah is going through today, which this ummah has never ever been through before. And before we complain about the sanctions which have been placed on our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, and those powers which are putting these sanctions, it is our belief, and we have no doubt in this belief, that they will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day, stripped of their powers, forget their powers. They and I and you, we will not even be wearing clothes on that day. Such will be our power, totally powerless. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold everyone to account for this crime which is being committed without on innocent people, without any crime. But on that day we must remember, just like our rulers will be held to account, who have the time to spend their wealth on bombing fellow Muslims and spending millions and millions, who buy out football clubs in the West, but they do not have the feeling for their Muslim brothers and sisters to donate some portion of this to make a difference to their brothers and sisters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold them accountable. But we must remember that on that day we will also be held accountable. How much of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties is in our homes? How many blankets, how many duvets do we have? How many of us have warm heaters, warm seats when we just sit in our car? Today is a cold day outside. And everybody is saying when we're going out that it's very cold today. It's very cold today. So what about our Muslim brothers and sisters and orphans and widows who are spending whole nights in this weather, in this pain which they are going through? Is this not the same ummah for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the example of the believers is that of one body? When one part, one limb of the body is in pain, the whole body feels the pain. The greatest tragedy which we face today is that we as an ummah has become paralyzed. We don't have the feeling, we don't have the concern, and we don't even have the knowledge of what is happening to our brothers and sisters. Yes, there is no doubt that there is a lot of reward in praying our salah, in going for hajj, in performing umrah. Of course, there are numerous virtues mentioned. But the ummah we belong to, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith I just narrated, that if you want to find me, then you will not find me in gatherings of influential people, in gatherings of wealthy people. If you want to find me, you will not find me in parliaments which are guarded by guards, which you have to take an appointment to have access to me. He said, you will find me amongst the most weakest of this ummah. And why? Why did Rasulullah say this? And some of the mufassirin, muhaddithin said, the second meaning of this hadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell his companions that go and find for me the weakest in the society and bring them to me. فَإِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنْصَرُونَ بِذُعَفَائِكُمْ. Because the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes down for this ummah, and the food which you eat on your plate, and the car which you drive, and all the other blessings of health which you enjoy, and our children enjoy, and our wives enjoy, do you think that you enjoy this because of the degree you got on the university? Do you think you enjoy this because you have done a degree in business, or you have learned how to do business, and this is why you are turning over the millions? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that it is none of this. The risk of this ummah comes down, and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down when you and I cry in front of Allah, when a doctor tells us that there is a tumor in your body, but we don't know for certain if it is cancerous or not. When you and I cry that, oh Allah, our children are not listening to us, they have become disobedient, they are on the wrong path, and we ask for your help. You and I cry that we are just about to lose a job, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to find another job. So if you want to know that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, my company is amongst the weak ones, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and my food comes on the table because of these weak people. And this is what we must understand. Our salvation in this world and in the akhirah is linked directly to the assistance of our Muslim brothers and sisters wherever they may be in the world. Because they're all our brothers and sisters. And until this feeling will not come back to us, and we will not link these two things together, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ. Whoever goes to fulfill the need of a Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes himself to fulfill the need of that person. The hadith did not mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angels. He did not say that he will use some means. He said, كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Allah himself fulfills the need of that Muslim who is in need, whatever his need is. So dear brothers, this is the situation which the Muslim Ummah is faced with today. And it is not only this. There is a greater tragedy at play. In our recent travels to Africa, we have come across many of our Muslim brothers and sisters who have been born as Muslims, who still have Muslim names. But yet, because poverty is being used as a weapon by some evil forces against the international laws, their deen is being changed. And there are many, many. For example, in Sierra Leone, where we visited, that there is a brother whose name is Muhammad, but yet when you ask him, "Are you a Muslim?" he will tell you, "I am a Christian." Because we were poor and my father handed me over. My father handed me over to a non-Muslim family so that I could receive good education. So I grew up in that family and I have been to the church for 12, 13 years. And now I am considered to be a Christian. If they are using poverty as a weapon to take away the iman of Muslims, the same iman for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried day and night for you and me, coming from, not from Arabia, from different corners of the world, and it was those prayers at night and that crying at night and his concern which spread this kalima to you and me to be granted salvation inshallah on the day of Qiyamah. Is it not our responsibility to share our wealth to protect the iman of our Muslim brothers and sisters in these countries? So before I end, dear brothers, my time is coming to an end. I just want to end with one story of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam, the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who had so much concern for this Ummah, so much concern. An exemplary Khalifa of Islam, whose concern and accountability was on a level which has maybe never been witnessed before. And because his concern extended to every Muslim who lived at that time, such as the incident we know, few days before his death, he said to one of his governors from Iraq that if I live till next year, I will make sure that there is not a single widow in Iraq who is not looked after by the Muslims. And subhanallah, his concern for the Ummah was such that I was listening to a lecture of one of the scholars, and he was mentioning that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he is with his companions, he is going to Khaybar, and he decides to rest in the afternoon under the tree. So whilst he is resting and sleeping, suddenly somebody is nudging his foot. So he wakes up and he sees a woman there. So he asks, "Oh sister, what is wrong? Do you have a need?" She says, "Yes. I would like to mention something. I was looking at everybody here, and when I saw your face, I thought I have some hope of goodness from you. So I want to raise a case with you." So he said, "Speak." She didn't know who he was. So he said, "Tell me if I can help you." She said, "I am a widow and I have orphans. And I live," I can't remember exactly where she said, "but in another country or a province, another province far away from Medina." So she said that Amirul Mu'mineen sent a governor to this area, but he did not sponsor or support me as a widow or my orphan. And I was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance. So when I received none, I decided to come and see if anybody could help me to make a case to the governor. And he said, "This is the second year and I'm in the same situation." So Amirul Mu'mineen stood up straight away and he called somebody and he said the governor's name and he said, "Go and call for him. Straight away, call for him. Go and summon him here." So the governor was summoned and he asked, have I done something wrong? What is happening? So he was brought to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And before that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to this sister, that do not worry, you will be looked after. And he ordered from the Baytul Mal for food to be bought and given to her immediately. And then he told her to wait. So the governor was brought there. And he said to him, that do you know, kunna adhilla, he said, we were wretched people. We were people who had no honor. Today we are ruling the world, but we were people who could not even rule over a city. We were wretched people. We had no izzah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us izzah through Islam. And I made you a governor. I made you a governor. So he said, Amirul Mu'mineen, let me speak. He said, you will not speak. Let me finish. He said, I made you a governor of this province. Why is it that a widow is coming to me for a second year and telling me that she has had no provisions when I made you a governor to serve the people and to make sure that you do not leave any widow or orphan who does not have assistance on their hands? So subhanallah, when we listen to this story, the scholar mentions that we know of the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this sister, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted her and how she was able to receive what she received by getting access to Amirul Mumineen. But the greater lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on Amirul Mumineen, because his dua was that, oh Allah, I do not want to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah and an orphan or a widow or a poor person stands up and says that during the reign and khilafah of Umar, we used to sleep hungry. وَآخِرْ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
جزاكم الله خير شيخ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon what Sheikh's mentioned and enable us to help, inshallah. If you can have the sisters start the video presentation, and if you can have the lights dimmed here as well, inshallah.
Sincere donations from Muslims like yourselves, Ummah Welfare Trust continues to help impoverished and abandoned Muslims around the world, alhamdulillah. The charity's relief efforts have increased considerably in the past year thanks to you all, improving the lives of our brothers and sisters, both near and far. Center of Islam's past and future great events is the Middle East, where Ummah Welfare Trust has remained active, alhamdulillah, increasing its work across the expanse this year. Continued and bloody oppression in Yemen, Iraq, and Syria remains intense. In response, Ummah Welfare Trust has delivered over £10 million of assistance to meet the needs of abandoned Muslims in these lands.
بالطائرة قصفة فتصوبت أنا إصابة في العمود الفقري بالقطنيات ان شاء الله ما يشال النصفين. يا الله يجزيهم خير، الله يجزيهم خير لهالدعم اللي جبني كرسي. انا كنت قاعد تحت على القهوه من 3 ايام ما اشوف الا انت جيتوني. انت اسمك رفعت محمد بقي، ان شاء الله خير، ابشر بالخير، ابشر بالخير. والله ما ولا عرفت شيء، ولا صورتوني ولا شيء. يعني جيت اليوم كنت كمان بارك تحت في القهوه، كمان بعدت علي وما جايبني كرسي. اسال الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم انه يرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب.
The most notable emergency response has this year been in the crown of Bilad al-Sham in Palestine, where Ummah Welfare Trust has spent millions of pounds helping Gaza's Muslims recover from the terrible airstrikes in June. Muslims fleeing the genocide to Turkey, Muslim victims of violence in India, and the forgotten Rohingya Muslims in Burma have also been helped. Iftar packs and financial assistance were delivered to over 60,000 needy families last Ramadan. About £3.8 million was spent assisting poor Muslims in 13 countries, alhamdulillah. In the run-up to Eid, Sadaqat al-Fitr contributions were distributed to over 50,000 families, alhamdulillah. Eid gifts were given out to over 20,000 orphan children. For the blessed days of Dhul-Hijjah, over £2.3 million was spent to sacrifice over 17,600 animals. Over 1 million Muslims were able to enjoy the blessed Udhi, alhamdulillah. Establish the deen, the lifeblood of every community. Ummah Welfare Trust's efforts to revive the teaching and learning of the Quran have expanded in Syria, West Africa, South Asia, and elsewhere. Large cash programs have been delivered to thousands of teachers and ulama.
سلام ماتوی کران کنور کی یوزا زوس خیمم نلرم کی بو کی تخیمه ولا گنداتا الله دو تاسو ته خیر در کی چیزی دو دی دوزی شفو دو پار دو در خرچ را کنو او پا دو باند زما گزاره کی الله دو دا کی چا کمک کنی الله دو آغا تا خیر و برکت ور کی الله دو مورا ورطور کی چی دغس فقیران و سره و کمک کنی خدای دو بخا
May Allah give us continued tawfiq to help these needy Muslims as well as his noble religion till our dying breath. Time is of the essence. Let us come together today and help these needy Muslims survive.
Jazakumullah khair. Like we said, that was just a glimpse of some of the work that Ummah Welfare Trust is doing on your behalf and some of the work that has been carried out on behalf of the Ummah in the UK for Muslims in different parts of the world. Inshallah, if I can, before I start, I can ask Brother Abdurrahman, Sheikh Faris, Sheikh Dawood to come forward, inshallah. Respected brothers, sisters, like we mentioned at the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that there are certain places on earth which are like the gardens of paradise. And this is our door at this moment in time, these next few minutes, inshallah, that we're going to have, is our chance to attain that paradise and that Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected brothers, I don't really need to say much. Sheikh Muhammad Ahmed, he just spoke about the situation in Afghanistan. Sheikh Iqbal, who's still there in Afghanistan, he's been there for a couple of weeks, he's going to be there for probably about another month. That is just one boy. That's not one out of a million. That's one of a million children who have to go and work, whose father was killed for no reason, except for what Sheikh was mentioning, that he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. These children, 1 million, that's the UN saying, are marching towards poverty if aid doesn't get there. And like Sheikh mentioned, why are they being persecuted like that? Remember, you know, one way of killing someone is usually literally go and blow him up. And the other way is killing them by starvation. And this is what's happening now. $9.5 billion of Afghani money being frozen. For us, inshallah, like Sheikh mentioned, we are part of the Ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like one body. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the Ummah is like one body. Who believes in this, inshallah? Who believes that we are part of the Afghanis? We are part of the Palestinians, the Yemenis, the Iraqis, and they are part of us. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left us as. And before I ask you to put your hands up, inshallah, I just want to mention one story of a young girl in a province in Afghanistan called Wardak. And this was a French 24-hour news. They actually interviewed her. And they asked her, they said this was a, you know, one survivor of a drone strike. This girl, 8 years old, wallahi, 8 years old, her entire family, father, mother, and three brothers, were obliterated in one millionth of a second. She was the only survivor. When they asked her her name, her children's name, she started to cry. That these were my brothers and sisters. In 1 second, they were totally gone. So this is what, inshallah, we're trying to fundraise for, inshallah. Today, we want brothers to pledge, inshallah, for £1,000. We want 20 brothers from... Jazakumullah khair, may Allah bless you, inshallah. We want 20 brothers, inshallah, to fundraise, to pledge, inshallah, for £1,000. Who will donate, inshallah, from the zakat, sadaqah, nillah, for these brothers and sisters. Remember, you don't have to give this in the month of Ramadan. The time and the hour is now. So please put your hands up, inshallah. Brothers can take their names down, inshallah. Please take the names down. Who's going to be the second brother, inshallah, to donate and pledge £1,000, inshallah? You don't have to have this money with you, inshallah. You can donate whenever you can. Just make the intention, inshallah. Do we have another brother, inshallah? Brother over there, Jazakumullah khair. Allah bless you, inshallah. Third brother over there, Barakallah feekum. Fourth brother there, inshallah. Do we have a fifth brother? Brothers, please keep your hands up, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Fifth brother over there, Zahidullah. Sixth brother, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair in the middle over here, inshallah. Sixth brother in the middle, Brother Iqbal over there, inshallah, in the middle. Seventh brother, inshallah, for £1,000. Remember, you don't have to have this money with you at this moment in time. You can donate whenever you can, inshallah. But make the intention, inshallah. Do we have a seventh brother, inshallah? £1,000. Sisters, give their names as well from upstairs, inshallah. Do we have a seventh brother, inshallah? Seventh brother, inshallah, to donate, to pledge £1,000. Remember, you can collect this money from your family and friends, inshallah, and donate it as and when it comes in, inshallah. All we want from you is your pledges, inshallah, your intentions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Niyatul mu'mini ablaghu min amalihi," that the intention of a believer is far reaching than his actual actions. Seventh brother, brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Eighth brother, inshallah, jazakumullah khair. Do we have an eighth brother, inshallah? Barakallahu feekum. Quickly, brothers, inshallah. Sheikh Taha is here, inshallah. We have the program which you all been waiting for, the coming of Imam al-Mahdi. Do you have an eighth brother, inshallah? Jazakumullah khair. MashaAllah, Mawlana over here, eighth brother. Keep your hands up, inshallah. Brother over here, inshallah, eighth brother. Ninth brother, inshallah. Allah bless you, inshallah. Allah reward you in Jannah and Akhirah. Ninth brother, inshallah, over here. Barakallahu feekum. Keep it coming, brothers. Remember, this is where Ummah Walfatra started from. Do we have a ninth, the tenth brother, sorry. Tenth brother right at the back, inshallah. Abid Bay, if you can send someone to. Brother over there at the back, inshallah. Do we have an 11th brother, inshallah? Barakallahu feekum. Quickly, brothers, inshallah. Time is of essence. Keep your hands up, inshallah. Brothers will come to you. Make sure you write down your name and number, inshallah. That's all we need, inshallah, and we'll follow up with you. Do you have an 11th, 12th brother, sorry? Quickly, brothers, inshallah. Remember, don't wait till Ramadan. None of us are guaranteed Ramadan. None of us. We all want Ramadan. None of us are guaranteed. But this intention, inshallah, will carry on even if you die before then. Allah will give you the reward for this, inshallah. Do you have a 12th brother, inshallah? Do you have a 12th brother, inshallah? Barakallahu feekum. Haji Sahib over here, inshallah. Zaidul Bay, Haji Sahib over here, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Haji Sahib, please put your names down and your numbers, inshallah. Do we have a 13th brother? Barakallahu feekum. Let's get to 15, inshallah, and then we'll drop the appeal, inshallah, to a lesser amount. Do you have a 13th brother, inshallah? Barakallahu feekum. Sisters, give their names as well. MashaAllah, sisters always donate more than the brothers. Do we have a 13th brother here, inshallah? Quickly. Just to make the intention, inshallah. Who has the intention? Put your hands up, inshallah. We're all going to give zakat anyway, aren't we? We're going to give sadaqah in Ramadan, aren't we? This is the time. All the ulama, you can ask any alim, he will tell you that the virtue of zakat and sadaqah is more with the time when it's needed, not for a certain specified time. When the hour and the need is there, that is when it's to be given, inshallah. Do you have a 13th brother, inshallah? One brother over there, inshallah, with Nawshad. Jazakumullah khair. 14th brother, inshallah, quickly. Barakallahu feekum. 14th, 15th over here, inshallah. May Allah bless both of you. Allah reward all of you, inshallah. Do you have any more for £1,000, inshallah? Remember, collect this from your family and friends, inshallah. Your colleagues, your workers, you know, anyone on your WhatsApp group, you can do this. That's 15 over here, inshallah. Let's move on now, inshallah, to £500, inshallah. Do we have brothers and sisters? And this is a small amount, wallahi. Just one boy, one girl's Eid clothing is probably going to cost more than this. £500, that will help five families, inshallah, in Afghanistan to survive. That food pack, mashallah, will last them approximately 1 month minimum. Minimum 1 month. If there's a large family, brother, with a young boy, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah reward you, inshallah. Take a young brother's name, inshallah. Allah bless you, inshallah. First brother, you'll get the reward for everyone that follows, inshallah. Brother behind him as well, Zahidullah behind him, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Brothers, please keep your hands up, inshallah. Make sure you fill the form in. Do we have a third brother, inshallah? Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum. £500, inshallah. This is something all of us can do, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Do we have a third brother, inshallah, for £500? And this, remember, you don't have to have this money with you at this morning time. You can make a pledge, inshallah, and take 1 week, 2 weeks, whatever it takes, inshallah. And remember, you can even give your zakat prior to its date as well. So if your zakat date is the 1st of Ramadan or 10th of Ramadan, all the ulama unanimously agree upon the fact, you can give it beforehand as well. So inshallah, zakat you can give for this as well. Zakat, sadaqa lillah, inshallah. And as Shaykh was mentioning, the calamities are extinguished by giving in charity. And that's what the Sahaba understood. That's what Umar radiallahu ta'ala understood. That's why he would go out at night with food packs on his shoulders and give it to the widows and the children who had come from far and from outside. Do you have a third brother, inshallah, for £500? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Fourth brother, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum, brothers. Quickly, inshallah, give your names, inshallah. Fourth brother, inshallah, for £500. Brother in the middle, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Allah reward you, inshallah, and give you increase in your health and wealth, inshallah. Fifth brother, inshallah. Do you have a fifth brother? Sisters, give their names as well, inshallah. Remember the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such an amazing hadith in which he says, and listen to these words very carefully, he says, "Man azza akhahu bi musibatin," whoever gives condolences, just words to his brother or sister because of some hardship that has fallen him, you just say to him, "May Allah make it easy for you," or give him a little dua, just them words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kasahu Allah min hulalil karamati yawm al-qiyamah." Allah azza wa jalla loves these few words so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clothe that person in the clothing of honor on the day of judgment. That's just by giving condolences. So imagine by giving food to people like Azimullah, 10-year-old, whose father was killed, and he's the breadwinner for his family. He can't go to school or madrasa because he's chopping wood every day to put food on the table, inshallah. Do we have a fifth brother at £500, inshallah? Jazakumullah khair. Fifth brother at £500. Jazakumullah khair, brothers, inshallah. The last push, inshallah, is just for one pack. Just one pack. £100. Who's ready for that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. You'll get the reward for everyone that follows, inshallah. Inshallah, Haji Sahib, please keep your hands up, inshallah. Allah bless you. Allah reward you and increase you in your health and wealth. Four brothers here, inshallah. Give brother over here as well. Brothers, please write your names down and give the forms back to us, inshallah. Do we have a fourth brother, inshallah? For £100. Fourth brother over there, Sheikh Usama behind you, inshallah. Fourth brother over there, inshallah, £100. Fifth brother, Akub behind you. Haji Sahib over here. Fifth brother, yeah. Sixth brother, inshallah. Sixth brother at the back, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, inshallah. Seventh brother, Jazakumullah khair. Do you have a seventh brother, inshallah, at the back? Do you have a seventh brother? Just £100. Okay, young brothers, inshallah, over there. Zaidullah, just brother over there, inshallah. Seventh brother, inshallah. Eighth brother. Eighth brother over there, inshallah. Guys, just keep your hands up, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you, inshallah. We just got a few minutes away before we start our program, inshallah. Anyone else for £100, inshallah? Just £100. And this will feed a family for a minimum of 1 month, inshallah. Brothers at the back, inshallah. Whoever's made an intention, and I'm sure many of you have, remember, when you give openly in front of the people with the intention of encouraging, you'll get double the reward, inshallah. By seeing you, someone else will be encouraged, inshallah. Do we have a fourth brother right at the back, inshallah? Abidwai, brother at the back, inshallah. Fifth brother, sixth brother. I think we're short on volunteers, mashallah. Bradford has responded very beautifully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and continue to take work from you, inshallah. Seventh, Haji Sahib over there, inshallah. Brothers, please keep your hands up, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Abdul Samad, my brother behind you, brother, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair, brothers. Do you have an eighth brother, inshallah? Brother Choni at the back, inshallah. Come forward, inshallah. Eighth brother there, inshallah. Allah bless you, inshallah. £100 to feed one family for a minimum of one month, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair, brothers. Quickly, inshallah. Do we have another person for £100? Brother over there, inshallah. Brothers, if we miss you, inshallah, please do see the table at the back, inshallah, and take a form. You can donate by cash or card if you have the money today. Inshallah, I'm just going to call Brother Abdul Rahman Choni for a few words, inshallah, to encourage all of us, inshallah, to donate for Afghanistan, inshallah, just a couple of minutes, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Brothers, Malan Sahib just dropped it on me and made me come forward. But look, the brothers and sisters of Afghanistan, they're all suffering. We all need to take our part, inshallah. They've been going through so much hardship, so much taklif, so much hunger. The children are starving to death. This is our duty, inshallah, to take part in this, you know, noble cause. Inshallah, these pounds and these hundreds of pounds, these are, for us, it's nothing really, but for them children, this is a lifesaver for them, inshallah. So dig deep, inshallah. Put your hands in your pockets. Pull every, whatever bits and bats you've got in your pocket, pull it all out. It's going to make a big difference, inshallah. I've just walked in and you're doing the appeal for £100, inshallah. So inshallah, I'm going to donate £100 towards it as well. Everybody else donate towards it. Look, even if you're all family members, put pounds in, £10 in, you can make that £100. That £100 is going to be a means of maybe a family eating for a month, inshallah. So dig deep. and support the cause, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Barakallahu feekum. If they've left any brothers, inshallah, please take your name, take a form from the table at the back, inshallah. Without any further delay, inshallah, I'd like to call Sheikh Taha forward to deliver his speech regarding Imam al-Mahdi and the signs of the Day of Judgment. Just before he comes, inshallah, I just want to mention a hadith which I found very amazing, and all the hadith are amazing, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Dajjal will not come out hatta tatruku al-a'immatu dhikruhu 'ala al-manabir wa hatta yaghfalu an-nasu 'an dhikrihi. That Dajjal will come at a time when people will have forgotten about him. And then the second bit he mentions is that when the imams from the pulpit and the minbar will forget mentioning him from the minbar, that's when Dajjal will come out of sight, out of mind. And that, subhanAllah, if you look around us today, where do we hear the mention of Dajjal? In fact, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he mentions that in tashahud it's wajib and necessary to say the following dua: Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab jahannam wa min adhab al-qabr wa min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat wa min sharri fitnat al-masih ad-dajjal. Every salah you have to read that according to him, otherwise your salah will be incomplete. That's the greatness of this fitna. May Allah protect us. Before he comes, obviously, we have our Imam al-Mahdi. And like I mentioned earlier, we're fundraising for Afghanistan. And all the ahadith, the authentic ones, they indicate that his emergence is going to be from the land of Khurasan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the right path until we die. Without further delay, inshallah, I'd like to call Sheikh Taha, inshallah, to deliver his speech, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I just asked Maulana Adam privately, is it okay if I take 2 hours? From the laughs we received, I have to cut it down to 1 hour, inshallah. But jokes aside, brothers, it's a very lengthy subject and detailed subject in itself. So inshallah, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to give it its due right. Respected ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, it goes without saying that the appearance of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu, his appearance is from amongst the signs of the final hour. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he categorized the signs of the final hour into two categories. The first being ashratu as-sa'a as-sughra, and the second ashratu as-sa'a al-kubra, the minor signs and the major signs. Now the coming and the appearing of al-Mahdi radiyallahu an, as the ulama mentioned, that his coming is neither from the minor signs nor is his appearance from the major signs. In fact, the first of the major signs being the appearance of Dajjal. So the ulama, they state that Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu is the connection between the minor signs and the major signs. When the minor signs have all appeared in the world, and how many of them have we seen in front of us? How many of the minor signs do we see before us? When the minor signs cease, then wait for the coming of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu. And in his lifetime, shall Isa alayhi salam descend upon this earth. And in his lifetime, shall Dajjal appear, and Dajjal shall be killed. So when Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu appears on this earth, then know that this is the beginning of the major signs of the Day of Judgment. Allah protect us from ever witnessing this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, firstly he said, and let us establish this, because unfortunately this topic is somewhat and sometimes seen or heard as an entertaining or controversial subject or a topic. So people, they come for entertainment. But the lessons to be learnt from this subject and from this topic are extremely serious. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith reported in the Sahih, in the Sahihain, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that since the beginning, since the time of Adam ﷺ until me, Rasulullah ﷺ, not a single prophet and messenger came to this earth except that he warned about the fitna of Dajjal. And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, in their lifetime, they would seek protection in Allah from ever witnessing such a day when they would live to see Dajjal. They would ask Allah's protection from ever witnessing this day. So the first lesson that we should take from the lives of the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ is never desire to see this day. Never ask for it. Never desire for it. You know, in one hadith which we'll touch upon later on, in one hadith, it's mentioned that the army, the people who shall stick by Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu towards the end, one army of his will number no more than 800 men and 400 women. So the question remains, what happens to the rest of the believers? And we'll touch upon this later on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also explained to us the difference between the major signs and the minor signs. And he said that the minor signs will occur slowly over a long period of time. But he likened the appearance of the major signs to a beaded necklace. And he said when that necklace or that thread is cut, just like a bead falls from that thread one after the other in quick succession, this is how the major signs will appear on this earth, one after the other in quick succession, in contrast to the minor signs. There are groups out there who claim and who believe that the appearance and the coming of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu is false. And there are others who claim that Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu is Isa alayhi salam. So firstly, we must establish the understanding of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. That what is the correct understanding? What is our aqidah? What is our belief with regards to Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu? The muhaddithin, the scholars, the likes of Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, Ibn Kathir, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim, they have stated that the narrations which speak about the appearance and the coming of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu number into their thousands. In their thousands. Yes, it is true that many of them are weak, but others are also hasan, sound and good. They have strength in them. So the likes of Al-Dhahabi, the master of hadith, Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, they state that the appearance of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu established from the hadith is completely sound. And this is also mentioned and stated in the Sahihain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari rahimahullah in his Sahih, he says, كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذْ نَزَلَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ فِيكُمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, oh my ummah, what will be your state when Isa alayhi salam descends on this earth and your imam shall be from amongst you? In another hadith with similar meaning, reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي يُقَاتِلُونَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ ظَاهِرِينَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيَنْزِلُ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَيَقُولُ فَيَنْزِلُ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَيَقُولُ أَمِيرُهُمْ تَعَالَى صَلِّ لَنَا فَقَالَ عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لَا إِنَّ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ أُمَرَاء تَكْرِمَةَ اللَّهِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu said, there shall always be a group from amongst my ummah who continue to struggle and fight in the way of Allah. Zahirina ila yawm al-qiyamah. They shall remain on this earth until yawm al-qiyamah. And then a time will come when Isa alayhi salam descends on this earth and your imam, he shall invite Isa alayhi salam to lead salah. But Isa alayhi salam shall refuse on that day, that first salah. And he shall ask him to lead. And he shall say to him that this is an honor which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved for you. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah and many other scholars. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani in his Fathul Mulhim, He says that this word imamukum, it refers to huwa imamul muslimin al-mahdi al-maw'ud al-mas'ud. This refers to none other than Imam al-Mahdi radiyallahu anhu. Who is Mahdi? Al-Mahdi. Is Mahdi his name? Al-Mahdi is not his name. It is a title which is given to him. It comes from the root word in Arabic, Hada or Huda, which means to guide or to be guided. So the question is, what is his name? What is his name? What will be his name? We turn to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, reported by Abu Dawud in his Sunan. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٌ لَطَوَّلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ رَجُلًا مِّنِّي أَوْ يَقُولْ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي يُوَاطِئُ إِسْمُهُ إِسْمِي وَاسْمُ أَبِيهِ إِسْمَ أَبِي فَيَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there was one day left of this world, only one day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would stretch out this day until He sends on this earth, until He sends a man from amongst my progeny. And He also said another narration, a man from my Ahlul Bayt, from my household, and his name shall be my father's, his name shall be my name, and his father's name shall be my father's name, i.e. his name will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah. His name shall be Muhammad ibn Abdullah. يواطي اسمه اسمي واسم أبيه اسم أبي فيملأ الأرض قسطا وعدلا كما مليت ظلما وجورا. And he shall fill this earth, he shall bring about peace and justice at a time when this world is full of darkness and oppression. So his name shall be Muhammad ibn Abdullah. What will he look like? What will his appearance be? So in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, hadith reported by Abu Dawud rahimahullah in his Sunan, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-mahdi minni ajla al-jabha wa aqna al-anf. He said that al-mahdi radiyallahu an shall have a wide, handsome forehead and an aquiline nose, which was a sign of beauty amongst the Arabs. But there are not many other narrations which speak about the appearance, the outward appearance of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu. So under this hadith, Abu Dawud rahimahullah himself, he says, the muhaddith, he says, يُشْبِهُهُ فِي الْخُلُقِ وَلَا يُشْبِهُهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ, that he shall resemble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in characteristics, but he shall not resemble him in outward appearance. Will Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu be from amongst the progeny of Hassan or Hussein radiallahu anhuma? The Rawafid, the Shia, they believe that Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall come and he shall be from amongst the progeny of Hussein radiallahu anhu. But the correct understanding, and the understanding, the belief of the Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, is that he shall come from the progeny of Hassan radiallahu anhu. And this has been referred to in a few ahadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One such hadith, Ali radiallahu anhu, he reports, or Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, and this is recorded by Abu Dawud in his Sunan again. He says, قَالَ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ وَنَظَرَ إِلَىٰ إِبْنِهِ الْحَسَنِ فَقَالَ. Ali radiallahu anhu, one day, he was looking at his son, Hassan radiallahu anhu, and he said, إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدٌ إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدٌ كما سماه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وسيخرج من صلبه رجل يسمى باسم نبيكم. He said this son of mine will be a leader, just like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that he will be a leader. Which incident was he referring to? Ali radiallahu anhu is referring to a particular incident when Hassan radiallahu anhu was a small child, just a small boy. He was walking towards the back of Masjid al-Nabawi while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering a khutbah. And because he was a small child, his thobe was slightly lengthy, so he tripped and he fell and he began to weep, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped his khutbah. Look at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowadays, I'm not talking about your masjid here. Nowadays, children come to the masjid, they stand in the sufuf of the men, and the committee members, they start shouting their heads off. This was not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you do not invite your children to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when will they ever come to the masjid? How will they learn to pray salah? Then you're discouraging them. You're sending them away to the streets. And then it's the same people who complain that my son has gone off track. My son is engaged in this and that. This is why we must start by bringing our young sons to the masjid, so they can start to get used to this environment. They can begin to love the environment and have a connection and love with the ulama and those people of knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stopped his khutbah when he heard his grandson Hassan radiallahu anhu cry. And he picked him up and he brought him to the front. And he said to his companions, "Oh my companions, inna ibni hadha sayyid, this son of mine is a leader or will be a leader. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unite two great factions of this ummah in future at his hands." This was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophecy. Later on, during the lifetime of Hassan radiallahu anhu, what do we see? Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, every word of his is truth. During the lifetime of Hassan radiallahu anhu, when he had the khilafah, because there was a fear of bloodshed between two great factions of the ummah, he left the khilafah. He gave up the khilafah for the sake of Allah, just to unite two group of factions of this ummah. And he gave the khilafah to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu during his lifetime. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ prophesied, that he will be the means of uniting two great factions of this ummah. And one amazing thing which Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah states about this incident, which me and you have a lot to learn from, let us establish this principle in our life from today. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says that وَفِي كَوْنِهِ مِنْ وُلْدِ الْحَسَنِ سِرٌ لَطِيفٌ, that in the Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu coming from the progeny of Hassan radiallahu anhu, there is an amazing lesson for us, and there is a secret, or there is a sunnah of Allah hidden in this. He said, وَهُوَ أَنَّ الْحَسَنَ تَرَكَ الْخِلَافَةَ لِلَّهِ فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وُلْدِهِ مَنْ يَقُومُ بِالْخِلَافَةِ الْحَقِّ الْمُتَضَمِّنُ لِلْعَدْلِ الَّذِي يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضِ فهذه سنة الله في عباده أنه من ترك شيئا لأجله أعطاه الله أفضل منه أعطاه الله أفضل منه أعطاه الله أو أعطي ذريته أفضل منه. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says that in the giving up of the khilaf of Hassan radiallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him with the greatest of khilaf in his progeny. He awarded him and he rewarded him with Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu coming from his progeny. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says to me and you, وَهَذِهِ سُنَّةُ اللَّهِ فِي عِبَادِهِ, this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the earth and amongst his slaves, that any single person who gives up anything for the sake of Allah alone, then Allah will always give him better. Allah will always give him better. Give up haram, give up a sin, give something up for the sake of Allah, wallahi al-azim, هذه سنة الله في عباده, Allah will give you something better. If not in this world, then most definitely in the hereafter. And Ibn al-Qayyim says that he shall give him and his progeny or his progeny better than this. This is a great lesson for me and you to take. And I often mention the story of one of my students in London. Just something for us to take back also. In his 30s, he had a great job working in Canary Wharf. Not too sure if you guys know Canary Wharf. Canary Wharf? He was working in Canary Wharf. Great job. And he decided that this year, a few years ago, said, this year I'm making niyyah and intention to go for Hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now Hajj is fard upon me. I have enough savings. And he said, whatever happens, even if my employer, who was a non-Muslim, he said, even if my employer refuses, I will quit my job and go for Hajj for the sake of Allah. Because it's an obligation upon me. So he put his request in for leave. It was refused. He pleaded with his boss, his employer. And he said, look, this is an obligation upon me. I must go. And I'm telling you because this is a true story, which I know myself. So he said, to no avail, he was not able to get that leave. And he decided to give his leave request. And he left his job. And he said there was only a few weeks left between the time he leaves for Hajj and the time he had quit. So he said, instead of wasting time, mashallah, he's a doer. Yeah? He started applying for jobs. He said, why wait till after Hajj? Let me start applying for jobs for jobs from now. He started applying for jobs. And he said, wallahi ustad, I was sitting at London Heathrow Airport, just scrolling through my phone before getting the flight. He said, I was in ihram. They were catching a direct flight to Jeddah. He said, I was sitting in my ihram, I was flicking through my emails, and a job offer came to me there and then. And the salary which was being offered was more than double my previous salary. More than double my previous salary. What lesson is there in this for us, brothers? We must inscribe this in our hearts, that anyone who leaves anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give him better than this. Khair, coming back. What shall be the state of the world when Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu appears? The state, as mentioned by the ulama, as mentioned in the hadith, shall be full of dhulm, oppression, darkness. Muslims will struggle and find it hard to practice upon the deen. When I say practice upon a deen, I mean upon the truth, upon the haqq. Not upon a watered-down deen. Muslims will struggle to find it hard to act upon the truth and the haqq. It will lead to such a time where even their own family members will turn against them, saying, who is this extremist? Who is this person who doesn't free mix, who doesn't come to this and that, who doesn't come to our gatherings? This will be the state of the world when Muslims who are trying to act upon the haqq are ridiculed, and they shall find it difficult to act upon the haqq. This will be the state of the world. In one hadith reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu in the Mustadrak of Imam al-Hakim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَنْزِلُ بِأُمَّتِي بَلَاءٌ شَدِيدٌ مِّن سُلْطَانِهِمْ حَتَّى يَضِيقَ الْأَرْضُ عَنْهُمْ فَيَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا مِّنْ عِتْرَتِي فَيَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِيَ الظُّلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. That the time of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall be a time when فَيَنْزِلُ بِأُمَّتِي بَلَاءٌ شَدِيدٌ مِّن سُلْطَانِهِمْ. The leaders of the world, the presidents and the prime ministers, the leaders of this world, they shall oppress the people upon the truth. Globally, whether it be in the likes of Myanmar, the Rohingya, whether it be in the likes of East Turkestan or Afghanistan or Asham, the leaders of this world will oppress the people, oppress the Muslims. They will be meting out oppression, killing them, torturing them, persecuting them. In a related hadith reported by Al-Thawban radiallahu anhu, reported by Abu Dawud in his Sunan, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and before I mention this hadith, understand the context of this hadith. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this statement, who was in his gathering? The likes of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum, the likes of Khalid ibn Walid, the likes of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, Sahaba who had given their life and their blood and their tears to serve the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this, it sent shock waves amongst the companions. These were a small group of companions who had defeated superpowers of the world. Look at the Battle of Badr. Look at the Battle of Yarmouk. Numerous battles. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمُ أَن تَدَعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَعَ الْأَكَلَةُ عَلَى قَصْعَتِهَا. He says, a time will come upon you, my companions, when the enemies of Islam shall be taking bites and chunks and tearing this ummah to shreds in front of you, and you shall do nothing. And the Prophet ﷺ gives an example. كَمَا تَدَعَ الْأَكَلَةُ عَلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا. Just like when one of you sits to eat and he invites his companion and his friend and he says, come and join me in this plate and take a bite of this chicken. Take a bite of this plate, of this food. This is the example that the Prophet ﷺ is giving. That in front of our very eyes, the ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ shall be oppressed. They shall be persecuted. And the rest of the ummah in their millions and billions shall do nothing. Sit there doing nothing. The Sahaba, shocked, they said, Ya Rasulullah, min qillati nahnu yawma idhin ya Rasulullah. Will it be because of our small numbers in those days? They couldn't understand. 313 had defeated an army of 1,000. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about a time when the Muslims shall be in such a downtrodden state. So the first question they asked, Ya Rasulullah, min qillati nahnu ya Rasulullah, will it be because of our small numbers in those days? فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٌ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. No, but in those days you shall be a humongous ummah, millions and billions, but you shall be like the scum on the face of this earth. وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمْ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal shall remove the fear that the enemies of Islam have from their hearts because of your own deeds. I remember a few years back, referring to the situation of Palestine, of Al-Aqsa, there was one Yahud who says boldly to the Muslims, I do not fear the Muslims. And this is a person who knew Islam. And the Muslim, they questioned him. They said, why do you not fear the Muslims? Look at all these millions and billions across the globe. If you were to take Aqsa today, do you not fear that these people will retaliate? And this person says, I do not fear the Muslims. He said, these are people who can't wake up in the morning for Fajr Salah and attend the masjid. And you tell me they're going to protect the Aqsa? These are people. He said, the day I will fear the Ummah is when they populate the masajid at the time of Fajr, just like they populate the masajid time of Jumu'ah. Until this doesn't happen, Yahud says, I do not fear the Muslims. Look at our state of our Fajr Salah, brothers and sisters. Brothers especially. Look at the state of Fajr Salah. Come tomorrow, you'll see for yourself. Barely one, two sufuf, and we call ourselves the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had such a love for salah. So until, this is a reminder, brothers, this is not an attack. Sometimes we need a bit of a shaking, right? It's a reminder for me and you. Let us start by fulfilling the obligations of Islam. Let us start by fulfilling the obligations of Islam. Today we'll spend all night speaking about the situation of this ummah. Or tonight, people will spend all night watching, what do they call it? Ertugul, yeah? A lot of people are laughing, so you know what I'm talking about. They'll spend all night, series after series after series, and the same mujahideen, at the time of Fajr Salah, they don't have enough muscles to lift their duvets to go for Fajr Salah. The same people who are lifting, I don't know how long, how much, 120 kgs? You guys will say this is nothing. Deadlifting 120 kgs, 150 kgs, drinking protein shakes. But these same muscles can't lift those duvet covers at the time of Fajr Salah. And I'm talking about Fajr Salah here. I haven't even started talking about Qiyamul Layl, which was the most beloved Salah to not the Prophet ﷺ, but all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. When we begin to start waking up for Qiyamul Layl and we begin to ask Allah to alleviate the suffering of this ummah, wallahi al-azim, you will see the change in front of your eyes. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he says that the dua made at the time of tahajjud is like the arrow which never misses its target. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says again, the dua made at the time of tahajjud is like the arrow which never misses its target. Try it for yourself. Ask for yourself. Ask for your family. Ask for Allah to lift the burdens of your own family. In tahajjud qiyamul layl. Establish tahajjud. You will see the results very soon. So this shall be the state of this world. And the Prophet ﷺ was saying, وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ الْوَهَنِ. So because of your own deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the fear that the enemies have in their hearts against you. And because of your own deeds, a disease will enter your hearts called al-wahn. And the Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, mal wahnu? What is this disease that will enter our hearts because of such that this ummah will become or lead, be in a downtrodden state? Faqala alayhi salatu wasalam, al-wahnu hubbu dunya wa karahiyat al-maut. This disease which will enter your hearts, oh my followers, oh my ummatis, it will be the love of dunya and the hatred of death. You will have an intense love of dunya. You will not want to leave this world. And you will have a hatred to die and stand before your Creator. Time is short, brothers. I'll quickly move on. From where shall Al-Mahdi appear? Radiallahu anhu. Where shall Al-Mahdi appear from? Now there are two collections of a hadith in this regard. Both sound, one set of narrations, they suggest that And this is also mentioned in one authentic hadith reported by Thawban radiallahu anhu in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim. He says that an army bearing black flags shall appear from the east, from the lands of the east, from the lands of Khurasan. Now Khurasan in those days referred to this whole area between eastern Iraq all the way up to Hind. And it includes parts of Iran, parts of Uzbekistan, Tajikistan and Afghanistan. So it refers to this whole region. So the Prophet ﷺ says, authentic narrations, he says that an army shall march from the east, from the lands of Khurasan, bearing black flags, and they shall continue to march. And in one narration, like in the narration of Thawban radiallahu anhu, he says that within this army shall be Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ says that if you ever were to witness this time, فَبَايِعُوهُ, go and take bay'ah at his hands, وَلَوْ هَبْوًا عَلَى الثَّلْجِ, even if you have to crawl over ice to get to him. Now you might be thinking, ice, Hijaz. Now we're already seeing ice in front of ice. This is actually one of the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the signs that he prophesied. He said, the final hour will not come until the land of Arabia, the land of Hijaz, shall not return back to fertile lands and valleys like it was in the past. And when he was saying this, and only a few years ago, this is a land which is desert. The geologists today, I read a BBC article a couple of years ago, they were saying that the landscape of Arabia is changing rapidly. It is becoming more fertile. You will see snow and you will see rain in the Haramain al-Sharifain. Do you not see this, brothers, in front of your eyes today? I remember going to Umrah a couple of years ago, just passing from Medina to Makkah, how the lands had changed to greenery. These were deserts, sand, and now we see greenery and fertile land in front of our eyes. One of the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, if you were ever to witness this army bearing black flags marching from the east, he says that take the bay'ah at the hands of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu, وَلَوْ هَبْوًا عَلَى الثَّلْجِ, even if you have to crawl of ice to get to him. But there are other narrations, brothers and sisters, which suggest that Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall come from Madinatul Munawwara. And one such hadith is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, where his wife Umm Salama, zawj Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qalat, she says that يَكُونُ اِخْتِلَافٌ عِنْدَ مَوْتِ خَلِيفَةٍ, there shall be great war and feuds between the sons of a king upon his death. يَكُونُ اِخْتِلَافٌ عِنْدَ مَوْتِ خَلِيفَةٍ, a king or a leader will die and his sons will begin to war between themselves and feud for wealth, for power, for whatever. And then Rasulullah ﷺ says, فَيَخْرُجُ رَجُلٌ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ هَارِبًا إِلَى مَكَّةَ, a man shall come from Madinatul Munawwara and he shall flee to Makkatul Mukarramah. Why? Because he shall fear that the people shall force him to take the Pledge of Allegiance to become the Khalifa. He shall flee to Makkatul Mukarramah. And Rasulullah says, فَيَأْتِيهِ نَاسٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ مَكَّةَ فَيُخْرِجُونَهُ وَهُوَ كَارِهٌ فَيُبَايِعُونَهُ بَيْنَ الرُّكْنِ وَالْمَقَامِ, they shall follow him, Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu. These will be the pious people, the ulama of the time. They shall recognize him. They shall know him by his signs. And they shall try to take him out from his house. Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall flee in Masjid al-Haram. And finally they will catch up with him. And they will take the bay'ah, the pledge of allegiance, bayn al-rukni wal-maqam, next to the maqam of Ibrahim. At this time in the world, as mentioned in some of the narrations, there will also be a tyrant who is referred to in a hadith as Sufyani. He shall be in the lands of Damascus, in Damascus, a great tyrant who will persecute the Muslims. He will murder, he will persecute, and it's mentioned in some narrations that his army shall even cut open the bellies of the women to pull out the babies. Such a tyrant. And he says that when he hears that Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu has appeared, he will send his own army to fight against Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu. And we pick up from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, reported in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, She says that the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-ajabu anna nasa min ummati ya'ummuna al-bayta bi rajulin min Quraysh qad laja'a bil bayt hatta idha kanu bil bayda' khusifa bihim. That this army shall march to fight Al-Mahdi radiallahu anh until they reach a place called Bayda, which is today there is a place called Bayda towards the east of Mecca. They shall reach this place called Bayda khusifa bihim, and the earth shall open up and swallow this whole army. Aisha radiallahu anha says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, did this, the people who are swallowed up at this time, were there not innocent people amongst them? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Na'am, fihim al-mustabsiru wal-majburu wa ibn al-sabil. Yuhlikuna muhlikan wahidan, wa yasduruna masadira shatta, yab'athuhum Allahu ala niyatihim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, amongst them will be people who had intentionally joined this army to fight al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu. There will also be people who are forced to be part of the army. And there will also be people who are just there. Bypassers. They will all be swallowed up. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise these people upon their niyyah, upon their intention. So those people who had good niyyah, Allah will forgive them. Some of the ulama, they have reconciled between these two sets of narrations. And they say, this is one interpretation, that Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall come from Al-Madinatul Munawwara. He shall be from the progeny of Hassan, as mentioned. Bear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And the army bearing black flag shall march from Khurasan, and they shall meet in Masjid al-Haram, and the bay'ah will be taken at the hands of al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu. This is one interpretation to reconcile between the two sets of ahadith. At the same time, when this army of Sufyani is swallowed up, inshallah we'll finish shortly, when this army is swallowed up in the earth, then the army of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall be fighting the battles to fight the people who are enemies of Islam. In a hadith reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, reported by Abu Dawood in his Sunan, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La taqumu as-sa'atu hatta yanzil ar-rum bil a'maq aw bi dabiq." He says the final hour shall not come until Rum, which was referred to as the army of the Nasara, the Christians, the final hour shall not come until they march against you, the army of the Muslims, in a huge number. One narration states that they shall march against the Muslims tahta thamani naraya, under 80 nations, 80 flags. One narration states under each of these flags and nations shall be 12,000 men. In this way, this army shall number 960,000, close to 1 million people marching against the Muslims. لا تقوم الساعة حتى ينزل الروم بالأعماق أو بدابق. Until they reach this place called أعماق or دابق. Where is أعماق or دابق? This is referring to a place near Antakya, between near Halab and Antakya, Turkish border and Syrian border, nearby. Antakya and Halab, in that region. So this army shall march of the Nasara against the Muslims, against the army of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu, and they shall arrive at this place called A'maq or Dabiq. And then فَيَخْرُجُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ فَيَخْرُجُ إِلَيْهِمْ جَيْشٌ مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ مِنْ خِيَارِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ يَوْمَئِذٍ. An army of the Muslims, the best of the Muslims, shall come and meet them at this location to stand in battle against them. And then the army of the non-Muslim, they shall say to the Muslims that, hand over the people who have been slandering us, فَنُقَاتِلْهُمْ, so we can kill them. فَيَقُولُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ لَا وَاللَّهِ لَا نُخَلِّ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَانِنَا. The Muslims shall stand firm and they shall say, no, we will not hand over any of our brothers to you. فَيُقَاتِلُونَهُمْ. So the army, 960,000 strong according one hadith, they shall start battling the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ says, فَيَنْهَزِمُ ثُلُثٌ لَا يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَبَدًا. One third of the army of the Muslims shall flee from the battlefield, and Allah Azza wa Jal shall never forgive them. وَيُقْتَلُ ثُلُثٌ, and one third shall become shaheed, هُمْ أَفْضَلُ الشُّهَدَاءِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and they shall be regarded as amongst the best of the shuhada by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَفْتَحُ الثُّلُثُ, and one third of them shall become victorious against this army. 960,000 strong army. The one third of the Muslims shall be victorious and they shall defeat them. وَيَفْتَتِحُونَ قُسْطَنْطِنِيَّةَ. Hadith states, this army shall continue to Constantinople, Constantinople, modern day Istanbul, and they shall conquer and open up the land of Constantinople. In some narrations it's mentioned that simply by the proclamation of takbir and tasbih, just by shouting Allahu Akbar, they shall conquer this land. The walls will fall. So Constantinople will be conquered just by the takbirs of this army of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu. At this time when Constantinople is opened, then إِذْ صَاحَ فِيهِمُ الشَّيْطَانِ, Shaitan will spread a rumor amongst the army while the army of the Muslims are collecting their ghanima, their war booty. So Shaitan shall spread a rumor that Dajjal has appeared. إِذْ صَاحَ فِيهِمُ الشَّيْطَانِ خَرَجَ Dajjal. Dajjal has appeared in the lands of Asham. So the leader of the Muslim army, Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu, he shall dispatch 10 riders, 10 horseback riders to Asham to investigate whether this is the truth. And in one narration, brothers and sisters, Rasulullah says in his time, when he was mentioning this hadith, he says, I know the names of these 10 riders now, and I know the names of their fathers, and I know the color of their horses. So Imam al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall dispatch these 10 riders to Asham. فَيَخْرُجُونَهُ. And then the army shall also follow. Then they will realize this rumor was false. فَإِذَا جَاءُوا الشَّامِ خَرَجَ. When they reach Asham, then Dajjal shall actually appear from the land of Isfahan, which is in today's modern day Iran, followed by, some narration mentioned, 70,000 of his followers. So Dajjal shall actually appear. And then the army of al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall start to become prepared for this great battle. They will be gathered at the time of Fajr Salah, according to some narrations, at a masjid in Dimashq. And then while Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall be preparing to lead the Salah, and the Iqama will have been called, إِذْ أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَيَنزِلُ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Then Isa alayhi salam will descend from the heavens. So one narration mentions, عَلَى مَنَارَةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ شَرْقِيَ دِمَشْقِ, upon a white minaret in Damascus. So they shall see Isa alayhi salam descending upon the wings of angels. And Isa alayhi salam will descend. And we refer back to the hadith which I stated in the beginning, hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, reported by Imam Muslim in Sahih, لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي يُقَاتِلُونَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ ظَاهِرِينَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيَنْزِلُ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَيَقُولُ أَمِيرُكُمْ تَعَالَى صَلِّ لَنَا. The Amir, Imam al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu, shall say, Ya Isa, come and lead us in salah. Isa alayhi salam shall say, no, inna ba'dakum ala ba'din umara, takrimat Allahi hadhi al-umma. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that this salah is to be led by you, and I will perform this salah behind you. So Isa alayhi salam shall perform this salah behind al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu. After this, brothers and sisters, there is no mention in the narrations of al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu anymore. His role has been completed. His role was to prepare the earth for the coming of Nabiullah Isa alayhi salam. After that, Isa alayhi salam shall take the leadership of the army and they shall fight the Dajjal. And the topic of Dajjal is a whole different story altogether, a whole different topic, which we can't touch upon today. But the hadith, same hadith mentions, فَإِذَا رُعَاهُ عَدُوُ اللَّهِ ذَابَ كَمَا يَذُوبُ الْمِلْحُ فِي الْمَاءِ. That when the enemy of Allah, Dajjal, sees Isa alayhi salam, just by seeing him, he shall begin to melt like salt melts in water. And he says, the hadith states, the Prophet says, وَلَوْ تَرَكَهُ لَنْ ذَابَ حَتَّى يَهْلِكُ. If he was to leave him alone, then the Dajjal would have been destroyed. وَلَكِنْ يَقْتُلُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِيَدِهِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that Isa alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal with his own spear. Some narrations mentioned at a location called Bab Lud, in today's occupied Palestinian territories. So Isa alayhi salam will run after a Dajjal. Dajjal shall flee from him, and then he shall kill him with a spear. And then, فَيُرِيهِمْ دَمَهُ فِي حَرْبَتِهِ. Hadith states at the end that Isa alayhi salam will show all of the believers the blood of Dajjal on his spear. Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu shall live on this earth, according to some narrations, يَمْلِكُ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ, 7 years approximately. But as mentioned, his role will be to prepare the earth for the coming of Isa alayhi salam. I've taken up a lot of time, so I will end on a few words. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once one of his companions, they came to him and they said, Ya Rasulullah, Mata as-sa'ah? Mata as-sa'ah? Ya Rasulullah, when will the final hour come? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at his answer. He says, Mada a'dadda laha? What have you prepared for it? What have you prepared for it? Let's talk about that. So yes, we can read into the prophecies and the hadith regarding the coming of Al-Mahdi radiallahu anhu, or the coming of Isa alayhi salam. Yes, it's a topic which draws a lot of interest. But we have to ask ourselves, what action points are we going to leave this gathering with? Because we are not here for entertainment, right brothers and sisters? We are not here for entertainment. We're here to start taking our lives and deen seriously. At such a time when it's beginning to become difficult for people to act upon the true haqq, upon the deen, this is the time where we need to ensure that we are serious about our deen. We are punctual with our salah. If you need to learn knowledge, seek knowledge. Speak to your local imam. Speak to Mawlana, ask him, how can I seek further knowledge? This is the time where we must begin to, where we must start to take the deen seriously. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports in a hadith reported by Imam Muslim in a Sahih, he says that the Prophet said, "Badiru bil a'mali fitanan ka qita'i al-layl al-muzlim, yusbihu ar-rajulu mu'minan wa yumsi kafira, wa yumsi mu'minan wa yusbihu kafira, yabi'u dinahu bi 'aradin min ad-dunya." Rasulullah says that when the time of fitan comes upon you, it will arrive, it will come to you like the darkness of the night, the fitna of this earth. It will be everywhere. You will not be able to turn anywhere unless, except that there is fitan. So the Prophet says, the remedy at this time is to flee towards the performing of good deeds. Hurry towards good deeds, do not delay. The brothers and the shuyukh, they were collecting, they were raising funds for Afghanistan. We need to ask ourselves, what are we waiting for? Do we believe that we have extended life? Who can guarantee, put their hand up right now and guarantee that they will be walking this earth tomorrow? Not a single soul. So take heed of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the time of fitan, badiru bil a'mal, flee towards the performing of good deeds. Give sadaqah, perform your salah, take your deen seriously. Don't wait for anybody else. It's a message to brothers and sisters. Don't wait for your family members. If you want to perform salah, grow a beard, act upon the sunnah, don't fear, don't worry about other people. These people, they will always talk about you. Today, family members sometimes will be your own enemies. Sometimes, unfortunately. Don't worry about what others think of you. Because when we enter that grave, there will be nobody there to support us. It will be us and our deeds and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. بَادِرُ بِالْعَمَالِ فِتَنًا قَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ Rasulullah SAW says that when such a time comes, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا A man, a believer, will start the day as a believer. But because of his deeds in that day, carried out in that day, he will end the night as a kafir. وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا And he says, a man or a woman will begin the night as a believer, as a mu'min. And because of his deeds carried out in the night, he will wake up as a kafir. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا He will be selling out his deen for a cheap price. Selling out your deen means that you had the opportunity to have taqwa, to fear Allah, to obey Him, to follow Him, but you chose to give preference to something of the dunya, a cheap sum, whether it was a small sin, a small bit of enjoyment in the darkness of the night, and you gave preference to that. And Rasulullah says, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا He will not wake up in the morning except as a kafir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every one of us. I end on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At such times, brothers and sisters, we are all in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his companions one day and he said, O my sahaba, nobody, none of you will enter Jannah except because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even because of your deeds. Anybody who's sitting here thinking, it's my deeds which will lead me to enter into Jannah, you are deceived. Can you honestly put forward deeds in front of Allah and says, here Allah, these deeds are quality deeds? We can't even perform salah, takbiratul ihram, and then we start thinking about the whole dunya. You know, the ulama say that the reason why the sunnah of Rasulullah is established at the end of salah, what do we recite at the end of salah? Istighfar three times, thalathan. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The ulama mentioned, it's because you have carried out so much sin in salah, thinking about everything other than your Creator, that you have to seek istighfar at the end of Salah. This is one of the reasons which ulama give, that you have to actually seek forgiveness from Allah. Ya Allah, forgive me and accept this Salah, this broken Salah. So do not be deceived into thinking it's your deeds which will enter you into Jannah. It's the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. How do we attain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'll just give you one hadith and end. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ar-Rahimun يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى يَرْحَمُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Those people who show mercy, who are merciful, they have mercy in their hearts. Mercy for the orphans, for the widows, for the poor, for the needy. Ar-Rahimun يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And this goes back to the hadith which was also mentioned by Mawlana Muhammad Sahib at the beginning. The woman who used to sell her body. Think for a second, for a minute. A woman, evidently, maybe she had no other deeds, but Allah forgave her because of the mercy she showed upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fis sama. If you want the mercy of Allah, and when do we need the mercy of Allah the greatest? Upon the Day of Judgment. If you want the mercy of Allah, then show mercy upon my creation. It's a quick ticket, an easy ticket to Jannah. Easy ticket to attain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fis sama. Show mercy upon my creation, O my slaves, and I will show mercy upon you on that day when you will be in need of my mercy. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah mentions about the incident of the woman who sell her body. She says, imagine the woman who showed mercy upon a dog and she was forgiven. What of the person, the Muslim, who shows mercy upon a human being, but not even a human being, upon another Muslim? How will Allah deal with him or her? We can't even imagine. Maybe palaces, everything that we want in Jannah, maybe will be there for us because of showing mercy upon the Muslims. So I end upon this last appeal, brothers and sisters. You've seen the situation in front of your own eyes. The Muslims of Afghanistan are suffering. Now is not a time to come and listen to entertainment. We must go back with action. Your time on this earth is limited. Your time on this earth is limited. You know the last appeal that the Sheikh Adam mentioned at the end, £100 for a food pack and a winter supplies pack, £100. I'm sure you'll all agree with me in saying that there is nobody in this room, I'm talking about the adults, who cannot afford this £100. Is that correct? £100. So inshallah, if we could have all of your intentions, inshallah, every single person sitting in this Jamaakana here today, and all the sisters, those people who have donated and not donated, those people who have donated, alhamdulillah, reward them. But each and every person, if you can all say inshallah, that I will at least give £100. £100 at this time of need, when my brother and my sister and my young children like Azimullah are on the brink of starvation. I will, Ya Allah, give £100. Oh Allah, bear witness that we came to this reminder of yours and we acted. We didn't just come for entertainment, we acted. So oh Allah, we will not leave this gathering except that we will give at least something. If you do not have your cash or your card, it's okay. The niyyah should be made. The niyyah is accepted even before your deeds are accepted. If you've made the niyyah in your hearts right now and it's firm, Allah has already given you the reward. And if you actually donate, Allah will give you double reward. So I end on these words. Forgive me for taking up too much time. Jazakum Allah khair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward each and every brother for attending and sister for attending this gathering today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all the brothers, staff, volunteers of Ummah Welfare Trust who work day in, day out for this cause. And we urge you to continue to support. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakum Allah khair to Sheikh Taha for those beautiful words, beautiful reminder on the events that will be happening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the right path, inshallah. Just before we finish, inshallah, I'd like to say, Sheikh Taha mentioned, Jazakallah khair to all the brothers who donated and pledged. If we missed you out, inshallah, please write your names down at the back. And also, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the donors, the sponsors for today's food, which is Woody Joe's on Leeds Road, if I'm correct. They've sponsored, mashallah, all the food here. Please do go pay them a visit. And if you feel generous, take me with you as well, inshallah. And inshallah, now that's the end of the dua. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this gathering. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Brothers will be giving the food out at the back, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Shaykh. How do you turn this off?